Happy New Year, everyone. Glad to see you guys here this morning. Glad that we can worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Glad you are part of worshiping Jesus with us together. You know, a question that sometimes we ask a lot of this time of year is, how can I improve in things? How can I make things better? How can my life be easier or better? And so we set these different goals and we set these different things to do to try to make our lives better. And I don't know how you're doing on January 4, if you've set some goals or not, but a lot of times people give up by about January 9. So that's statistically, keep going if you made some goals. But if you really want to do something, if you really want to change, you got to see the benefit of it and then do it. But you know, a question that we can ask any time in our year, any time in our life, is this question of, who am I? And why do I exist? What's the whole deal? Why am I here? And I'm not talking about like right here, this spot right now, but like, as in, why do I exist? And if that's a question you've ever asked or you've thought about before, then today's a great day to think about that, because we're going to be looking at that today. So why do I exist? Why am I here? Why am I alive? You know, where do you find answers to these questions? We can find answers on our phones, on the internet, through all kinds of media. There's so many people that will give you some kind of answer to that question. Why do I exist? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Those kind of things, right? And you can look on YouTube, you can look on Google, all kinds of ways you're going to find different answers. Maybe you can find answers asking other people. And maybe some of those people have some good answers. But maybe they don't have good answers either. So everybody has different ideas of how we got here, why are we existing. You know, think about it. Some people are going to tell you that we're here is just an accident. You know, that they would say millions of years ago that there was this big bang that happened, and just something hit something, and then all of a sudden it just created and created and created. And the chances of that happening were astronomically low. The chances of that happening, it's crazy how people have so much faith in believing in a big bang theory instead of in the creation of an intelligent creator, someone a God that creates. And you know, this is a great chance for us to see, what does the Bible say? And I know that sometimes people say, hey, well, I don't know if I can believe everything in the Bible, but the Bible is God's truth. The Bible is God's word. We can read through the Bible and see the heart of God. And this is my little plug right here, as we have this year, starting just a few days ago, we're starting a Bible revival. And so if you haven't already grabbed one of these Bibles or signed up, we'd love to invite you to do that. It's not too late. January 4, you can still get caught up. And if you don't want to read the first few readings, then just start on January 4 or January 5 tomorrow. But what I love about this Bible is it's split up into different sections. So you read a Old Testament section, a New Testament section, and a Psalm and a Proverbs every day. So that's a great option for you, and it's something I want to invite you to do as a church community. And then this year, I'm excited to see how we're going to grow in God's Word together. Excited to see how God's going to teach us through His Word, answering some of these questions, like, who are we? Why are we existing? And who is God? And why are we here? And what does God say about us? What does God say about a lot of things? And so I just want to invite you to open to the very first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to see today what the Bible says about who we are. So if you have read Genesis 1, you're going to see that the first 23 verses of Genesis 1 are all about God saying, let this happen, let this be. He spoke into existence the world. He spoke into existence the universe. He spoke into existence the planets and the stars and the moon, the sun. He spoke into existence this very world, and then he didn't just leave it. He put animals in the land and on the water. He in the air. He filled the earth. And we're going to see today just a little bit about what God did after that. And so he's created and gone through the different days of creation. And so we're going to read from Genesis 1, verse starting in 24. All right, so this is what it says in Genesis 1, verse 24 and beyond a little bit. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing an offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that's what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce an offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26 is a little shift here. Instead of God saying, let this happen, here's what he says. He says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and over the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And as we'll pause there. As we look at what is it that God made. So we saw that God made all these different creatures. And then, this is in day six. Then God shifted to making not just creatures. He shifted to making humans. And if you notice, he says here, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." He didn't say that about any other creature. He didn't say that about the birds, about the animals that scurry along the ground, the fish. He didn't say that about any of the other animals. Even some of the ones were huge and magnificent. You know, all these animals that he made are this so complex. If you look at it, someone that studies biology, you can look, Carly has been doing that, right? And she knows all about the insides of animals and how they work. We learn a little bit in ninth grade biology, but if you go study in college, you learn a lot more, which I don't know. But you see how these animals, you know, how they're put together, how they're so uniquely made. There's a creator that made those animals. But then, as much as the complexity of animals are, God made people. He made people in his likeness. He said, "Let us make people in our image and in our likeness." Now, if he is going to make people to be in his image and in his likeness, that must mean that he is really proud of them, or he really likes them. He really wants them to represent him. You know, in the college basketball world right now, there's a lot of crazy things that are happening, but a few years ago, they've realized that players can earn money based on their name, their image, and their likeness. They can earn money because the universities are making a lot of money in ticket sales and all kinds of other things, and so they want to pay the players. Without getting into the politics of all that, the idea is their name, their image, and their likeness are being used by the school to make money. Is your name, your image, your likeness, is reflecting your creator? And so are you representing your creator to others? Your name, your image, your likeness are reflected of our creator. And in fact, we are made in the likeness of our Creator. We are made to be like Him. Now, what does that exactly mean? It's hard to know that. It's hard to know exactly what that means. Are we exactly like God? Of course we're not exactly like God, but we are made in His likeness. And when we're made in His likeness, we represent Him. And so, do you ever think about that? Where God said, let us make humans in our likeness. That you are made in the likeness of God. And what that means. Then in the next verse is Genesis 1, verse 28. He says this, then God blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, and over the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all fruit trees to be your food. And I have given you every green plant as for food, for food and all wild animals and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that's what happened. So God here in verse 28, after He's made humans, He blessed them. And He gave this command. This is the first command given to humans. Now we know that it's not the first commands in the Bible, because God said, let there be light, right? Let there be water. Let there all be these things. Let there be. So those are commands that God gave, spoke into existence, these things. But now He looks at humans and says, He says, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Govern it. Reign over the fish and reign over everything. God looks at people and says, I want you to not just represent me, but I want you to then multiply, and I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have success. I want you to be flourishing. He wants people. He wants you to flourish. And He provided for the first humans here, He provided everything they need. A beautiful place to live, plenty of food, companionship with each other and with God. They had everything they needed. God gives you everything you need if you trust Him. And we are made with a blessing. We're blessed with a purpose and a provision. This purpose and provision that God blesses humanity with, this purpose for the first humans, we're to fill, we're to be fruitful, we're to multiply, we're to make more and more humans. Right? To have dominion. It's this paradise. This paradise that God created. God created people to live in this place where they could thrive, where they could live perfectly. He created everything they need. You know, they're still finding out all the different things that humans need to live. And if the earth was just a little bit different, or just rotated a little different, slower or faster, or in a different spot in the universe, all these things, there's like 30 or something things that have to happen for us to survive. He provided all those things, and we don't even think about that. We sometimes think about the food that we need in our bellies, and maybe if we're climbing a mountain or something, oh, we need more oxygen, or you know, something like that, right? But we don't think a lot of times about all the different things that we need that God provides for. He provides for us. So He provides everything we need, and He gives a purpose. Now, the purpose is a little different for us, because we don't live in paradise. And you might think, well, what happened since creation of the world, this paradise that God set up, and now? Because I don't live in a paradise. I don't live in a perfect place. Well, if you read Genesis 3, that's what happened. Genesis 3 is where people decide to do their own thing. They decide to reject God. And because of rejecting God, we all have this, what's called a sin nature. We all are born. You can see it even when a little baby is like only a few weeks, maybe a few months old, And you can see this little, they're little sinners. You know, if you don't really think that we're born with a sin nature, you can see that you just borrow somebody's kid or grandkid or mine. And you can see that we are born not being taught how to sin, but we have this in us. We know how to sin. And it's not something we have to learn. It's, you know, we get better at sinning, unfortunately. But we are born with a sin nature. And that's really unfortunate, because God created the world. He created people to flourish. He didn't create anyone to die. That's the effect of sin. And, you know, what we can be excited about is that someday Jesus is going to return, and all things are going to be made new, and we're going to have new bodies that don't hurt, and we have a new purpose, and God is going to make everything right. And we can read about that at the very end of the Bible in Revelation. The first part of the Bible and the very last part of the Bible, there's perfection that's happening. But the rest of the Bible, like 99% of the Bible or more, is about humanity dealing with sin and how we need a Savior to save us from that sin. So we can see that God is blessed. We're blessed with purpose, with provision, everything we need. And then I just want to highlight this last verse of chapter 1. This last verse says this: "And God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Evening passed, morning came, making the sixth day." All right, look at somebody near you and say, "You are very good." Even if you don't want to, you still got to say it. You're very good. Because God made you to be very good. Notice all the other times God said in this whole chapter, you can look at it. Every time he says, "And this, he made these things," and then he said, "It was good." And it was good. And it was good. And then what changed is he made people. He made humans in his likeness and image. He made humans that have, and he blessed them with purpose and provision. And he then looked at humans, and he was proud of himself. You know, when you make something that's really good, you get kind of proud of yourself. And you say, "Wow, that's really good." And here, God said, he looked at all his creation, and he was so proud. He saw people were special. They were very good. In fact, I'm going to say they were exceedingly wonderful. That we were made exceedingly wonderful. Because if you look at these words, very and good, very is this word in Hebrew, meod. And it's this idea, this greatly, much, exceedingly, it's not just a little bit. But the bigger word is tov. This word that means, that we translate is good. And this word tov in the Hebrew has a lot of different meanings. This idea that it is, something is not just like what we say, "Hey, it's good. It's okay." We kind of use the word good as kind of like okay. But when God used this word tov, he didn't just mean it was okay. He meant it was wonderful, that it was beautiful, that it was really perfect, that it was, and another way of saying it is, it's life-giving. God made us to be life-giving, to be life-givers, because he's the one that created life, and then he created us in his image, and he wants us to also then create life. Now, we're not going to literally create humans or things, other creatures that breathe. I don't mean it like that. I mean, he made us to be life givers. He made us to bring life to people, to bring life and wholeness. One commentator said it this way about this verse. He said, "God's superlative goodness. This is the first use where God establishes a baseline of perfection." So here he's, this is like perfection. This is people being perfect. I know that doesn't make sense, that people and perfect go together, especially when you know people or you know yourself, because we aren't perfect. But here, God made people to be exceedingly wonderful. And you are created to be exceedingly wonderful. You are created, and God looks at you and says, Me'od tov, that you are very good, that you are exceedingly wonderful and life-giving, that you are excellent, and he's proud of you. When you look in the mirror in the morning or at night or sometime, do you think of yourself as exceedingly wonderful? Now, if you did, you might have another little problem. But God looks at you as exceedingly wonderful. And I think a lot of times we think of ourselves as all the things that are wrong with us. But it says the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. This psalmist knows that the Creator created created people to be fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that what God makes is perfect. What God makes is really very good. And so if you say, hey, I'm not made very good, I would just encourage you to talk to God about that, because he made you to be very good. He's proud of you. Even with the flaws that you have, even with the things you don't like about yourself, God made you exceedingly wonderful. And he is well pleased with you and how he made you. So, who am I? Why do I exist? What am I doing here? You are made by a perfect Creator God that loves you. You are made not by accident. You are made on purpose, for a purpose. You are made in the likeness of the Creator God, to be like him, to represent him. You are made and blessed with purpose and provision. God wants you to succeed. He wants you to excel. He wants you to be fruitful. And he made you exceedingly wonderful. You know, as I think about, what is this one thing that I want you guys to take away from this message? What is one thing I want you to know? And if you only remember one thing, I want you to remember this. The Lord views you as his prized creation. He views you with joy, with proudness. Like, he's so proud of you. He looks at you and he's like, this is my beloved son or daughter. This is the one I'm so excited about, who they are, how I've made them. They're created. You know, when you have a prized, when someone wins a prize at county fair, or any place, I guess, and they get this big ribbon, and they, you know, that, or a trophy, or whatever it is, that, hey, this is something I made. You know, you're kind of excited about it. You're like, hey, this is great. I did this, and people think it's really good. And people think that what I made is really nice. And you kind of get this, like, pride in you that, you know, not necessarily, it could get to your head, I guess, and it could be bad. But, you know, there's this overwhelming, like, hey, I did this well. And God, he made you well. And he is proud of you because you are his prized creation. He takes delight in you. He takes care of you. He treats you as special. He protects you. He cherishes you. He delights in you. And he loves you. These are things that we don't think about maybe sometimes, that we are cherished by God, that we are prized, that when he looks at us, he's like, wow, I'm so proud of them. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this, and Paul says this in the New Testament, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. God made you his masterpiece. He made you, and he looks at you and he's like so excited that what he did. But because of sin, there's this problem, this big problem. We have this sin nature, and we go off on our own, and we rebel against God. And how, I mean, think about it. If you make something and you can't make it love you, you know, you make something, you can't make it want you, the Creator. But God made us, and he doesn't force us to love him. And so because we're not forced to do that, we're not robots, we choose our own way. We all do. We turn away from God. And that's the really sad thing, is we turn away from our Creator. Even though he looks at us with love in his eyes, we do our own thing. We know it's better than God. Or at least we maybe don't say that, but we act that way sometimes. And when we turn away from God, that's called sin. And in the Bible it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But in the same chapter that sin first appears, where in chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam and Eve sin, God tells Eve in one of the consequences, and he says, hey, but someone is going to come to save you. Someone is going to come, and it's going to break the serpent's neck. It's going to crush the serpent's neck. And so God, even from the beginning, when people sin, God said right away, hey, but there's going to be a Savior that's coming. And his Savior is his perfect Son, the Son that did not choose his own way, did not choose his own ideas over his Father. He never rebelled, even though we did. And Jesus, God's Son, he wants to bring our rebellion from our relationships that have been ruptured. He wants to bring us and restore us to the Father. And he is the Savior. He's the only way that we can be rescued and restored. And because Jesus lived this perfect life, and he lived to show us the Father, he lived full of grace and truth, and he lived and he died a sinner's death on a cross, taking the place of my sin. And because of Jesus taking my sin, and because of Jesus giving me life, then after Jesus died, he rose from the dead, he has victory over life and death. He has victory over sin. He has victory over anything that this world could throw at him. And so even though we're living in a place where right now it's like, this doesn't look like perfection, this doesn't look like paradise, well, guess what? It's not yet. It was, and it's gonna be, but it's not right now. And so God is making all things new. And he's in the business right now. He gives us a new purpose. His purpose is, if you are in Christ, he wants you to show other people the life of Jesus. He wants you to go and make disciples of all nations. He wants you to go tell people all about him, about the rescuer that saved you. And so, as we think about this, the Lord views you as his prized creation. But he doesn't let you not be rescued. He sent his own Son to rescue you. And so because of Jesus, we can be rescued. Because of Jesus, we can have life. Because of Jesus, we have communion with each other and with him. And this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to take communion here in just a moment. And we're going to receive the Lord's communion, the Lord's Supper. But before that, I just want to close this message in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your great love. Thank you that you came to die for us. Father, we thank you that you created us in your image, and that you've given us purpose. You've given us everything we need, provision and protection. God, we thank you that you look at us with joy. You look at us with pride. You look at us as prized possession. As people that are made exceedingly well. Lord, we thank you that you are the one that we can get life, that you have given us life, and that you want us to give others life. And so please help us, Lord, to turn to you, to reject the rebellion in our hearts and confess the sin that we have in our hearts, Lord. We pray, Jesus, that you would make us right with you. We pray, Jesus, that you would help us to be life givers, connecting with you and showing other people that you are the life giver. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen.